I have a very special treat today. I'm with Amanda Torres, who is now known as Amanda Lyons because she married the wonderful and fabulous Adam Lyons, who I've talked about many, many times before because I am a huge fan of Adam Lyons' character, number one, but also his materials. So, Amanda, thank you very much for coming and talking with me today.
Thank you, Marnie. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. So yeah. I wanted you to give like a little bit of background on you, who you are, and how you ended up marrying the top pickup artist in the world.
Yeah, definitely interesting. Well, my story is I kind of learned about the pickup community actually years before I even met Adam or knew who Adam was. A girlfriend of mine had a friend who was an instructor for a different company in California a few years back. And this was all well before the game came out, well before there were any TV shows about it. This was when it was, like, really brand new. I think I was 17, 18 years old.
Really?
So I kind of knew about it. I knew there was a group of guys in L.A., California area running around trying to pick up chicks, calling themselves pick artists. I thought it was interesting. Didn't think much of it. So I knew all about it. They told me the tricks of the trade, things to look out for, things that guys do. So, I mean, I definitely had some sort of history background of knowing what it was.
Yeah.
Then a few years ago when I was living in London with the same friend of mine, same girlfriend of mine that knew the guys with me, when we were in London, we were out at a bar one night, met a bunch of guys. We decided we're American girls in London. We just want to meet local UK British guys. We don't want to hang out with any other Americans, you know.
Of course.
We wanted to be immersed into the British culture. So we met a group of guys, a group of people in London that go partying all the time. And they were like, hey, you girls should come out with us. You seem cool. We were like, awesome, let's go. So one night while we were out, it was a bit weird. They were acting a bit strange. They were all kind of saying the same thing to us, but like reworded.
Yeah.
And we were like, what is going on here? So it kind of made us laugh. And then one of the guys decided to do a tried and trusted routine and was like, hey, I'm going to try something really cool. I'm going to do the cube. And we were like, oh, wait, nope, don't do that. So
yeah.
We kind of pulled him up on it right away. We were like, okay, you guys are PUAs. We know all about it. That's why it seems so weird, you know. And then they were like, wait, how do you girls know? How do you girls know? So then they started freaking out. So it was kind of funny. So through those guys in London, I mean, they were cool guys. We kept hanging out with them. And through those guys is how I met Adam. They were all kind of working for and with Adam at the time.
Oh.
So when I met Adam, everyone always asks, what was his opener? What opener did Adam use on you? What happened? You know, they want this like amazing story of him asking who lies more and then transitioning on to, I don't know, some mind
reading.
Something
else, exactly.
Yeah, that did not happen at all. I think his opener was, hi, I'm Adam. Nice to meet you, because we were introduced by friends.
Yeah.
And then from there, I mean, we kept hanging out in London, and I thought he was a pretty cool dude. It was definitely rocky at first. I mean, no girl ever dreams of going home and saying, hi, Mom, I met the man of my dreams. He's a pickup artist. That's not what we want,
yeah,
I promise.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it was a bit rocky at first. I kind of made him go through a shitstorm trying to get with me because, you know, of course, I'm on my toes being like, well, what are you doing? Because you're a PUA.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a battle at the beginning, and then he kind of just proved it the whole way. He made it clear that he wanted to be with me and just me, which was great. That's what every girl wants to hear, and he definitely stuck through it. He won my mom over. My mom didn't like him at first, and now him and my mom are best friends. They text message probably more than we do.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my mom and Adam are so close. My mom loves him.
Well, who would? This is the thing. I've met your husband a couple of times. I've talked to him on the phone. And really just instantly from talking to him on the phone, you can tell that he's a very genuine character.
Yeah.
Because he was saying when I was at the PUA summit, he's a left-brainer, right? He's very he's not technical. What is he? He's like
it sounds lame, but he's almost a bit of both. He has the very creative mind. He's able to dream things up, and he dreams big and imagines things and goes for what he wants, but then he tries to get a bit technical with it and make it put everything into play. So he's a bit of both. He's kind of everything,
nice.
Which is
that's
why he's so great to me.
No, that's probably why he is so great with you, because he can understand. Like, there's a lot of guys who are really creative who act on passion and act on emotions, which is very similar to women. They act on their emotions a lot of the time. So for a man, if he can have a balance of both so that he's able to dream up something interesting to do, but they can actually execute it properly because
yes.
He is more logical. I think that's a nice balance. So actually,
that's a great balance. And that's something that we teach on our courses, how to try to have that kind of balance.
Yeah. Well, actually, so I want to hear about the bumps that you guys had. Sorry, not that I'm like Jerry Springer trying to, but I can say in my own relationship as well, you know, that the bumps and the humps are the most challenging to get over. But when you do, you end up becoming 10 times closer. The fact that you've been able to work something out together. So if you can tell us about some of, not in great detail, obviously, because I don't want to dig too deep into your life, but some of the challenges that you guys have gone through.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's just really some of the biggest challenges were, I mean, I'll say this as humbly as I possibly can, but I've always been kind of an eye turner. And since I was 12 years old, I've had guys hitting on me. I remember
Actually, that's not true. I've seen Amanda. She's quite unattractive.
Thank you. You're
just joking.
No, I do remember, though, the first time I ever got hit on, I was 12 years old sitting in like TGI Fridays after watching some lame PG-13 movie with a friend of mine in seventh grade. That's right. I was 12 years old in seventh grade. And this guy from a different table came over to my table, sat down, said hello, started, you know, trying to smooth talk. And the friend that I was with goes, "She's 12 years old. What are you doing?" And the guy said, "Oh my God, I have no idea." And he got up and left. So that's kind of like my introduction to like men, you know, being, by that, I mean, being hit on by older men, being cold approached.
Yeah.
So, I mean, since I was 12 years old, I've had guys trying to sweet talk me and promise me this and promise me that. And I've had men say that they'll fly me all around the world and that they'll give me my hopes and dreams and modeling contract. You got it. You want to be in a movie? It's all yours. Diamonds, bracelets, purses, anything you want, I can have. And at first, I thought Adam seemed like that kind of guy. I was like, Adam's just another one of these guys that's going to promise me the world, try to sweet talk his way right into my pants. That's what he does. That's actually what he does for a living. It's not just what he does for fun, you know? So I was definitely hesitant at first. I brushed off almost everything he said. I said, "Nope, I'm not interested. Don't want it. No, thank you." I was fine with hanging out with him. We hung out all the time. I was like, "We can hang out, we can make out, but I'm leaving London in 8 weeks, and when I leave, this is done." That was my stance on the whole thing. And he kept saying, "No, but I really like you. I'd like a relationship. Definitely wanting it to work." And I basically said, "You can talk all you want, but it doesn't mean anything unless I actually see it happen." So I did end up leaving London after those 8 weeks, but I just couldn't stay away, and we kept talking on the phone for every single day after that. And then he came out to the States a few weeks after to visit me, and then a few weeks after that I went to visit him, and then a few weeks after that he came back to me. So then we did this long-distance relationship. And this is actually during my senior year of college, which is supposed to be like the most fun, the most crazy party time of your life. And there I was with this long-distance relationship, which wasn't just long-distance. It was long-distance over 5 time zones.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is never, ever easy. So then finally he just kind of, he stuck around, and then I stuck around, and we kind of just proved it to each other. Because he also saw me as a little heartbreaker, too. He saw me as the girl that could kind of, you know, have any guy I wanted, and he thought I was playing him also. Yeah. So it was just a big bundle of big mess. Not trusting each other at first, not knowing what was going on, and long distance is always hard. It puts so much strain on the relationship. So then we kind of had all that to battle with, and then finally we said, if this is ever going to happen, if it's ever going to work, the distance needs to be closed, because you just can't have a long distance relationship like that and make it work. Eventually, it needs to be closed. So he said, I got a visa for the United States. It's a 10-year visa. I'm going to move out there. I'm going to do work. Let's see what happens.
Jeez.
So he moved out to the States May 5th of 2008, a bit over a year and a half ago, and we have been physically together every single day since then.
Really? That is so nice. Okay, so in the very beginning, you were very guarded and protective, and so was he. Even though he was still trying to prove to you, he was still guarded and protective.
Very much so, yes. We both were.
Yeah, like the way that you're describing it sounds like you were constantly being cold to this person who kept trying to fight for your attention, and I know that that's not what it was. Because I'm sure that you definitely had your moments where you were very connected, but maybe there were split seconds when you did get back to reality for both of you where you did put your guard up. Am I right in saying that?
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, so there were like huge connection moments in between. So it wasn't that you were constantly pushing him away and rejecting him and he was like being a wimp and climbing all over you. And you were like, okay, fine, you are sweet, I like you. It was definitely, okay. So there was definitely a definite connection there.
Yes, huge one, of course. And now we're together today because we have that kind of connection. You need that. I mean, a relationship can't kind of function or strive without it.
Definitely. I did want to talk more. Actually, the main thing I want to talk to you about is picking up in a club, but I keep finding things that I'm interested in. So okay. For you, as a woman who's very attractive, who was hit on for the first time when she was 12 years old by some weird old man who has a thing for 12-year-olds, but what I really want you to take your time to answer this. Like, I want to know how that feels, having that type of attention from men, and what it does to you as you mature and get older. Because you said it, you already put up a wall and you were just like, okay, fine, you're another one of those guys to Adam. But like, really what it does to you in a dating scenario, in a pickup scenario, how it makes you feel. Because I'm sure that there is times where it feels very positive and wonderful, but I do want to hear the negative thoughts that you have as well when you get that type of attention.
Yeah, of course. This is definitely something I've thought of before. The kind of attention that we receive from men, I think girls in general, because even not the most beautiful or the tallest or slimmest girls, I mean, they still get a lot of attention, let's be real. It's just a girl thing. And every girl likes the attention. We all like it. It's nice. It's flattering. It's nice to be told that you're pretty or that you're sweet or that your hair is awesome or that you're dressed well. It's always nice. It's always flattering. Everyone's always going to like that. It's going to do a great emotional spike. That's going to make a smile, put a smile on our face and, you know, make our day. Yeah. But at the same time, it is something that you become desensitized towards. Like I said, and I really do mean this very, very humbly. Actually, the past boot camp that I did this past weekend, probably the past 4 or 5 boot camps that I've done, the guy that I'm training on the night will say to me, how often do you get hit on? And I feel like that's just something that guys want to know, but it does happen a lot. It happens every day, especially if it's, you know, a night where you're dressed up and going out to a bar, to a club or something. Girls get hit on a lot, even if it's just a random guy in passing going, hey baby, what's up? Or a guy that comes up to you and says, oh my gosh, I have to let you know you're beautiful. Or a PUA guy that's coming up under the radar. It happens all the time. So it is something that you become desensitized towards. And like I said earlier, it definitely made me put a wall up. Because I said, I had all these guys promising everything. And I said, okay, but which is the guy that's actually going to make something happen? What's the guy that's actually going to push for it? Yeah. I want to be pursued. I don't want a guy that's just going to, you know, try to snap his fingers with a flash of cash and a bottle service champagne at his table and expect that I'm going to come running, because I'm not that kind of girl. So I think for guys, it's good to know if you do want a good quality girl, you're not going to be able to win her over with your car, with your money, or with your alcohol, because if you are winning her over that way, that's not the kind of quality girl that you want. That's a whole different kind of girl.
Quality girl, exactly.
Not a kind of quality girl. But you also have to know that it is something that you're going to have to work towards, because, like I said, that you get desensitized towards it for sure.
Oh, 100%. And then when you said that you put a wall up, like guarded, fine, you're desensitized to it, where you're just like, it's the same thing as somebody coming up to you and saying, like, I want a cup of coffee. It is basically the same thing at the end of the day, because you've heard it so many times. But for you, like being desensitized and putting a guard up, does that mean that you suddenly became more negative towards guys who would constantly do those actions towards you?
Not negative, because I try to stay as positive and as friendly as I can with almost everything I do.
Okay.
I've found a lot more fun and creative ways to kind of say thanks but no thanks without being a total bitch about it, which I think is very important for every girl to try to learn how to do. You don't want to shut these guys down immediately and make them, you know, feel bad about it. I that's what I hate when I'm teaching, like an infield workshop, and all of a sudden a girl is like, ew, get away from me, to the student. And I'm like, oh, what a bitch. I need to save that now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a good way to give, you know, a nice, polite exit strategy, really friendly, but still be able to kind of get the point across that you're not interested.
I agree with you. Sorry.
No, go for it.
I was gonna say, when I first started doing this, I didn't realize how difficult it was for men. And, like, I have a lot of the wing girls that come out with me as well for the first time who have usually been bitchy to a lot of guys because they're just like, oh, they're such scumbags. I am hot. I have larger breasts, and that's why they're coming up to me, or whatever it is that they're thinking in their own head, that they will be rude. They'll turn away. They'll ignore them. Some girls will pour drinks over a guy's head for absolutely no reason whatsoever because they think that the approach is coming from a negative place. But, like, girls that have come out with me as wing girls, they start saying to me, I did not realize how difficult it is for guys to approach and what actually goes into working up the courage to approach somebody. And now when they're approached, they take the same attitude as you, which I think is really important because I do it as well, to be nice. as you know, as you should be with every single person that you interact with, there's no need to be harsh and rude and bitchy towards somebody who's approaching you.
Yep. And if only we could teach all the girls out there that.
No, and I'm trying to.
That's there you go.
As well.
Keep going with your one girl.
Yeah, exactly. That's my goal.
A good service you're providing.
But for you, what attracts you?
That's a good one. What attracts me? I kind of mentioned this before, but I was always, my favorite word, I think, in English language is the word pursue. I just love what it means. I love the stories that go behind that word. I love the attitude that it takes to pursue something. So I always said, I want to be pursued. That's what was going to get me. Someone that pursues me and doesn't run away when things get tough, because things will get tough. Relationships aren't easy. They're not a cakewalk. And like I said, you need to be the one guy that's actually going to push past all the crap and make something happen. Don't give me crap, and you're going to have to take my crap. So for me, the big thing was someone that's going to actually pursue. And with that, you need to be confident. You need to be secure. And I hate when girls say, oh, just be confident, be yourself, you'll be fine. Because that doesn't really mean anything.
Exactly.
But I mean, confident in yourself that you are strong enough to do this, and confident in your relationship. Insecurities is one of the biggest turnoffs ever for me. Someone that's actually very insecure with themselves and that can't handle something that's being put their way. So I think being secure with it, being able to pursue something and just going for it and not backing down, that's a very attractive quality. Oh. And that's exactly what Adam had.
And I can vouch for that as well, that he definitely has that character. It's really interesting because there were a lot of guys that were at the summit, teachers and non-teachers, who taught about confidence. And when they were up on stage, they had confidence 100%. But as soon as they got off stage, they became so, and I'm sure for you as well, because you are very attractive, I'm sure they became even more so, like uncomfortable, and they wouldn't make eye contact with you, and that confidence completely disappeared. But I found that Adam, and there was a couple of other guys, like Vince definitely has it in an interesting way, but Adam was definitely one of those guys whose character was consistent the entire way through. He was very helpful to me. He has been very helpful to me. And I like that, because that's in my relationship, that's what my significant other is like as well. You know, he has that confident character. And we have been together for 5 years, but we are working through those tensions together. Because for me, being pursued is also what I'm looking for, but it's being with somebody who also wants to work on bettering themselves and bettering our relationship, which is exactly what you were saying. But those things are very attractive to me as well.
Yes, that's exactly what you need. And I love what you said about keeping it consistent. I think consistency is huge.
Yeah.
Being yourself, or being one person one place and one person the next that's not consistency. You need to be the same guy that I can go to great parties with and have fun with, great guy that's going to act well during dinners, and the same guy that, you know, I could take home to mom. It's
exactly
that kind of consistency that you need throughout the board.
Exactly. And that comes with comfort. And over time, that character can grow. Because I know that Adam wasn't always that character, right? He used to be awkward and uncomfortable and nervous around girls. So he had to learn how to get those skills, right?
Yes. And I mean, and they absolutely can be learned. And that's why this community is here. That's why people are teaching this and learning it and improving it themselves and bettering themselves. That's exactly what, you know, that's what this is all about.
Definitely. And I think it actually would be really good to go to one of your boot camps because you have the wife and husband dynamic teaching the course, which I think is really interesting. Because a lot of people in the PUA community, yeah, you get to see how to do it on that first night, which is great. It's fine. But for a lot of women, that isn't the memorable part. I think that it's easier to impress somebody for an evening, but to consistently impress somebody over a period of time, I guess
that's true game. That really takes skill.
Yeah, so I think you're doing something really different, because I don't think that people have really tackled that area before.
Yeah, my favorite actually are those gurus out there that say relationship product, buy it now, $1,000. And I'm like, what relationship are you in? You don't have a relationship.
Exactly.
And yet they all sell them. I mean,
exactly. No. So I, how does it work for your boot camps? Are you guys going to be traveling, or do they all have to come to where you are?
No, we actually, like I said at the very beginning, we do our live training with, or actually, I said it to you personally. We do our live training with PUA Training. That website is just puatraining.com. And all of our bootcamp dates are up there. We go around the states for them. We go to LA, we go to New York, we go to Miami, Austin, Chicago. I think we have Denver coming up, San Francisco. So we try to go to different places. And Marnie, you're definitely invited to the next LA one.
I would love that.
Yeah, you can definitely come. It's in December. I'll drop you an email with that.
Oh, I love that.
So we go to different cities. They're 3-day courses, and we do, I mean, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 2 nights of night game, and one day of day game. And they're a lot of fun. It is interesting to see the dynamic between Adam and I, to see how we actually interact. Then of course we have our assistant instructors, like our one guy, Luke. Luke is a big guy with a big mohawk and a big personality. Mm-hmm. And seeing him walk into a venue and he just goes to town, and it is so good to watch. So it's great to see the two different dynamics of seeing Adam and me and the kind of relationship side of things. Mm-hmm. Seeing how you can maintain that, and then of course getting my perspective as a girl, which obviously, you know, is really unique. Not many guys can just, you know, ask all the questions that they need to get asked out there and get them answered, actually and honestly, with the real, I mean, a real female opinion, as corny as that sounds. But it's always good to get that side of things, and then it's good to see Luke as the single guy out on the hunt doing his thing and making it happen. So it's really good. It's a lot of fun.
Definitely, and I will take you up on that offer.
Well, for sure.
See you guys. So now I want to talk about what I really want to talk about, which is where you are an expert. And I'm not. And it's on being in clubs, being in bars, and just the difference with that type of game. That type mm-hmm. of game, or sorry that I even said the word game, but like that type of atmosphere is very different from just everyday pickup. And I wanted to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah. Bars and clubs. I mean, this is something I do have a lot of experience in. I got my first fake ID when I was 17 years old, and I used that thing like nobody's business. So back in the day, I mean, I'm only 23 now, and I feel like I've been doing this for much longer than I should have, which I actually have. So bars and clubs. The good thing I like about bars and clubs is that people go there to socialize. That's why people go to bars and clubs. Whether you go to socialize with your friends, whether you go to socialize with people that you've never met before, whether you just go to see and be seen, you go there because you want to be social. Okay. The not social people are the ones that, you know, do the quieter coffee shop type thing, or the...
Or at home.
Yeah, stay at home or do movies and dinners. And that's okay too. But people go to these venues to socialize. And that's why they make for good training ground, for good practice ground. And that's just a great way to improve your social skills just to begin with. So you can definitely use them to your advantage. It's also just knowing how to utilize them to work in your favor instead of kind of burning yourself out throughout the market.
Okay. Well, how do you do that?
Yeah. You do that by making sure that you're not like the creepy guy in the corner. Cause there's always there's several different types of guys at the bars, but there are the guys that go with their friends and they just think, let me be loud, let me be rowdy, let me get a bit drunk and hit on the next thing in a skirt that walks by. And then there are the guys that just kind of sit there hoping to be spoken to, hoping that they'll catch the eyes of a pretty girl. And then hoping that they'll almost get an invitation to speak to them. So it's knowing, and I think both of them can actually, you can definitely work with both of them. It's just, it's almost just knowing how to do it, if that makes sense. You can still be the shy, kind of quiet, reserved kind of guy that goes out, and you don't need to think about your energy level being super high. You don't need to think about being that super extrovert that you're not, because you can still have a good effect by being a bit quiet, a bit low energy, and it's just knowing how to find the girls and how to speak to them exactly. In a way that'll still come across, even though you are kind of shy and quiet and low energy.
Well, the thing is that that's like a lot of the questions that I get from the guys that I work with, saying like, how do I learn how to be cocky funny? How do I learn how to be like really out there and spontaneous and crazy and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and I always say, if that's not your character, stop working on becoming somebody that you're not.
That is exactly what I say.
Yeah, and start owning your personality. So for like a lot of guys who think they have to be on the ball and basically entertainers in a club, you don't have to be. I've been hit on by the quiet type at a bar in a club. I've been hit on by the really outgoing, goofy type. And I've been attracted to both, mainly because both of them are being themselves, owning their character. And exactly what you said, they're providing me with fun. Like, that's what I always say I go to a bar or to a club because I want to be social. I want to have fun. I don't want to talk about work. I don't want to talk about somebody's, like, you know, mother who's ill. I want to enjoy myself. I go, you know, I work all day. It's boring during the day. I want to do something exciting when I go out socially. You know, if I didn't want that, I wouldn't be at a club or at a bar. So my intention is for having fun. So for you, what do you tell guys who are really shy to say? And then what do you tell guys that are really outgoing to say? Is it different, or how does it work?
I would actually say it's the same. It's just the delivery that would be different. Okay. One of the things I definitely want to touch on what you said is you're there to have fun. You don't want to be bored. You don't want to be stuck in mundane conversation. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be, with that guy and thinking to yourself, oh God, when is he going to go away? Or, you know, having to plan a birthday, a bathroom break with one of your girls to get away. Exactly. So one of the biggest things that I always say is for the guy, you need to buy yourself 5 seconds of the girl's time. If in the first 5 seconds you completely screw it up, you're kind of rude, kind of loud, kind of, just not what she's looking for, then immediately you're going to get shut down. And you need to think, like I said earlier, girls get approached dozens of times a night. Mm-hmm. In a nightclub, in a bar kind of venue, guys come up to girls all the time, and I know firsthand exactly how often it happens. So what you need to think is, what sets me apart from the other 15 guys that are also trying to hit on this girl tonight, and how can I win 5 seconds of her time so that I have the right to be heard? Because if you're not earning yourself the right to be heard, she won't listen, and then you have absolutely no way of getting in. Yeah. As long as she's willing to listen to you for a bit, as long as she's willing to interact and socialize and kind of hear what you have to say, then you've bought yourself those 5 seconds, and from there you could kind of take it. But if you don't even get that initial start right away, then it's just never going to happen.
Oh, I completely agree with you. And so then how does each person buy themselves 5 seconds? Like when you are coaching somebody before they go and approach somebody, what do you tell a guy to say something? Is there a line that they have to say, or is it just go up, be yourself, and say, hi, my name is Mark?
We don't have structured lines, just because we're not all about the structure right. thing. We're not about creating social robots, but we do have kind of formats that we go for. So we have different types of lines that we can go through. But I think one of the biggest things that we do teach at the beginning is you've obviously interviewed Adam before, so I'm sure he's touched on this. But we talk about social proof a lot, and social proof is the idea that if you're seen to be social, if you're seen to have other people like you, then others will also like you. So if you're going out with a group of people and everyone's laughing and smiling and having a good time, and as you walk by, people are giving you high fives, and if you're going through the club and people are saying, hey, John, how are you? John, how's your night going? Then people are going to look around and think, who is John?
Of course.
And this is something that me and my husband and our other instructors have almost perfected to an art, and we abuse this skill as much as we can because it is so much fun. You can build social proof in a nightclub, you can build it in a coffee shop, in a restaurant, you could build it going down the road. And when you do have that kind of social proof around you, you will see that the responses and the reactions that you get from others are so much more positive than if you're just going for a cold approach. For example, we have a Starbucks that we go to every single day, Adam and I, when we're home in Austin. And there's a man there, a gay man, who absolutely loves Adam. He loves me, loves Adam, but specifically loves Adam. And almost every time we go in, we get our free coffee. And when we go in, we walk in, and he's like, Adam, Amanda, how are you? What do you guys want today? And all the other customers in the shop kind of look around and see us. And that gay man at the Starbucks is giving us social proof. So we can pretty much then open or approach or say hello to anyone else in that Starbucks, and it will be so much more well-received than if we just, you know, walked up to them cold and said hello. So in a nightclub setting, a way that we say to do that is to just build up your familiarity with as many people in the venue as you can. So as soon as you, you know, go to the door, you talk to the bouncer, hey man, how's your night going? And get chatting with them. You actually want to treat people like they're people and not just like they work there.
Exactly.
And I think that's something that people miss out on all the time. Quick example, we went to, we had a Chicago boot camp last week, and me and one of the guys went to the bar to order a drink. And we have, we're pretty strict with our no drinking alcohol rule on our boot camps. We always say no alcohol drinking just because, you know, it hinders your game and we don't want to deal with drunks, which right. has happened in the past. Right. So you have to get creative with the things that you order. So I went up to the bartender and I was like, hey man, how's your night going? And he said, hey, it's going great. What can I get you? And I said, all right, I want to order a drink here, but I'm a little nervous. And the bartender looked at me and he was like, what do you mean you're a little nervous? And I was like, I'm afraid you're going to make fun of me. And if I think that you're going to laugh or make fun of me, you're going to make me feel bad. And I just can't order my drink from you for the rest of the night. And then he was like, okay, what do you want? And I was like, you have to promise first. And he's like, I can't promise. And I was like, all right, I'll try it anyway. I will have a Sprite with grenadine. And the bartender looked at me. He's like, a Sprite with grenadine. And I was like, some people call it a Shirley Temple. Some people call it a kitty cocktail. I think the more adult and mature way to order it is a Sprite with grenadine. And he busted out laughing and he was like, that's all you're going to have. Do you want a shot of whiskey in it? Do you want some rum? I was like, that's it. A Sprite with grenadine, nothing else. And he just started laughing and he served me my Sprite with grenadine. Didn't charge me for it. But the rest of the night, this bartender was super friendly towards me. He was looking me across the room. I walked by. He gave me a high five. He asked for my name later. So later on, he was like, Amanda, can I get you anything else? Anytime that I was leaning up against the bar, he would serve me before he would serve anyone else. And it's just because I took the extra, what was it, like 60 seconds just to talk to this guy kind of on a normal level to kind of make his night instead of just being like, hey, can I have a Sprite, please?
Yeah, exactly.
It's making the interaction a bit more fun between you and the other person. That's all it's doing.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is that you could do this on your own, because that was my next question. Like, well, what if you don't, if you're not in a club with five of your friends, like how do you create that social proof? But you basically just said it, that you can create social proof at any time, whether you're by yourself or with other people. And it's taking the time to be a human being with the other people around you. But does it work as well with guys? Like, let's say a guy, because my cousin, he orders sex on the beach. Like, that's his drink, because he doesn't actually like drinking. So let's say my cousin would go up and do the exact same thing as you. Would that work?
It would absolutely work. I love that you just used sex on the beach as the example. Because like I said, our instructor Luke, he's a big mohawk. He's a big guy. He causes a lot of attention. And his favorite drink ever is a sex on the beach. He doesn't like drinking. And the fruitier the drink, the better. The more fruit and lime and cherries that you could stick in it, the happier of a boy he is. And he'll go up to the bar and he'll go to the bartender. And he's like, all right, I'm going to order a drink. But you can't think I'm gay, because I promise you I'm not gay. And the bartender's always like, all right, what do you want? You know, so it. Like, he does that same thing. He just has a little fun interaction with them, gets them laughing. Bartenders have to deal with, you know, rude people all night, asking for their drinks, not being very friendly. They're hustling around. They're working on Friday, Saturday nights, late into the night. So if you're making it a bit more fun, and if you're just, you know, kind of having a good time with them, you will stand out. And that's how you build that social proof. So you can definitely do it on your own, kind of like how we're talking about, just having these little interactions with everyone around you. You could do it with a big group of friends. You could do it with just you and one other person. You could do it in the daytime. You don't need a nightclub to do it.
Exactly.
And I think kind of the underlying message of all of this is that you're adding value to the person that you're speaking to. And you're just having fun. And as long as you're having fun, brightening up their day and adding value, that will earn you the kind of what I was talking about. That will earn you the, you know, 5 minutes of their time to speak to them. And once you have that right, then from there you can move on in and do your thing.
Exactly. And it really is exactly what we were talking about before with going to a bar to have fun. It's about doing things that are outside of the norm. Like, I was at a Starbucks this morning. And I'm in Hawaii right now. And so everybody was there. It was a huge long lineup for half an hour. And the woman behind who was making the drinks was doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And I know that she was really busy, but I took about 30 seconds to have a conversation with her and just comment on the fact that it was really, I forget even what we talked about, but it's just something that got her to snap out of her regular robotic routine, get involved in me, make me feel like I was involved in her. And she ended up giving me, like, a free sprinkle of something.
I know
that it's not that big a deal, but it means a big deal to that person that you're connecting with. And then it also means a great thing for you as you walk away. So that is the thing with a lot of guys who are just getting into pickup or just getting into becoming more social with women. They concentrate a lot on themselves and therefore
so much so on themselves.
Yeah. And they become very in their head. But the thing is that when you do start getting attention, it's when you start paying attention to other people and taking it off of you and putting it onto others. So I love what you're saying. I've actually never talked to anybody who's talked about this type of social proof before. But I think it's something really, really interesting.
It's a lot of fun. It's a fun tool to have because you can do it anywhere. And it makes almost everyone's night with whoever you're actually speaking to. It improves like your vibe of how you're feeling. It makes you fun and excited. Makes the person that you're speaking to, if there are other people looking around, it kind of just brightens up the energy and the fun level of everyone in the room. And like you said, you got a free sprinkle of something at the Starbucks this morning, but if you go in tomorrow and it's the same girl working there and you're just as friendly, you will get another free sprinkle of something else. Exactly. Day three, she'll probably upgrade you to a venti for free. Day four, you'll get a free extra shot, you know?
Day five, I'm the owner of the Starbucks. Exactly. That's how it works.
Yeah, and then eventually you'll have a free coffee lady and she will be adding value to you by giving you free coffee, and you'll be adding value to her by, you know, speaking to her and find out how her day is going and getting out of the kind of mundane routine that everyone's stuck in.
Exactly. So that, for anybody who's listening right now, that is the exercise that I want you to do for the next week, is go prove yourself socially. Go out anywhere that you go by yourself. If you go into Barnes and Noble, try doing what Amanda was talking about. Just take those risks for the next week. Take yourself outside of your body, outside of your head, and connect with somebody else. Make them feel special. Not sucking up to them, but make them feel special and add value to their everyday life.
Yes. Big exercise. That's a lot of fun.
No, I love this. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was really good. All right. Well, I'm done with you.
There you go.
No, but thank you so much for talking to us. And like, again, I know you've already talked about how to get in touch with you and with Adam, but again, be a little bit more detailed, say the website that people should go to, give any information that you want to about your programs, about your boot camps, plug away.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much, Marnie. To get in touch with me and Adam, check out our website, which is www.instantattractiontraining.com. That's where our online stuff is. If you want to do some live training, if you want to see us on a boot camp and hang out, it's all done through PUA Training. So that's PUATraining.com. All the U.S. boot camps are done through us. And drop me an email at any time. I love getting emails, love trying to help people and writing back. So that would be Amanda@attractionexplained.com.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Marnie. You're awesome. Let's do this again.
Definitely.